If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'll open to Mark chapter 2, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right off the bat, I'm going to come out of the coat, okay? I am burning up. Anybody else hot? I'm coming out of the coat. Now, I am Baptist Coastal, so y'all got to get used to that, okay? I will move around, and I will be down there on the floor with you some. This morning, we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that a lot of times, unfortunately, gets left out of the Lifeway cycle or the David Cook cycles, the yearly Sunday school cycles. And this is a Bible story that has such great emphasis and such great teachings to it. And we just miss it sometimes because it's not there. This morning, I'm going to be talking about four guys, okay? These are four guys that are not mentioned or named in Scripture. They're unknown. But we can learn so much from them. And it's exciting to learn these things from them and to see what they can teach us and what we can garner from that. And it's such a neat story to see that. And I guess before I get into Scripture, maybe before I get into the sermon, I need to maybe say a little bit about myself. I don't know if Jay said that or not. Is you're going to learn pretty quick. I do like to move around. I came over here about 7 this morning and got the lay of the land a little bit here because I do like to move around. I do like to get down here in the pews. Guys about to get nervous, okay? But that's just the way I am, okay? I am a little Baptist Coastal, okay? My name is Mark. My beautiful bride over here is Kathy. She can wave. She's not going to wave. She's mad at me now. Jay, I'll be staying at your house tonight. Dacey and Ryan. Dacey, wave. Ryan, wave. He's going to be mad at me too. Dacey is our dancer. She is likes competitive dance. She loves hip-hop, contemporary. She endures ballet, from what I understand. No, she doesn't endure ballet. Ryan is our parkour guy. He's our ninja guy, and basketball is his thing. And Kathy's good at everything. You hear me? Everything, okay? Brownie points, okay? Come on. Y'all supposed to say, amen, amen. Oh, come on now. We got to get with it, okay? All right. And I am a UT fan. University of Tennessee. The real orange. Okay, I'm done. Okay, all right. Okay, listen to the sermon, not that, okay? All right. We'll have a good time. Now, Kathy over here, she's a Texas Tech grad, okay? So she's, what do y'all do? What do y'all do in that 13,000-seat stadium? Guns up? Is that what y'all do? All right, all right. Good deal. All right. Well, all right, let's get to church now, okay? Mark chapter 2. Learn about these four guys here. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version here. Again, looking at this story and just looking at what these four guys can teach us about being genuine friends. Now, we live in a society that's very connected, do we not? We have these things everywhere, don't we? We are connected. But unfortunately, we're more disconnected today than we've ever been. And so this morning, I want together to look at these four guys, and we're going to, yes, I maybe shouldn't have done this, we're going to have 5 points this morning, okay? Can y'all endure 5 points with me today? 5 points. We'll be eating about 2:30-ish. No, I'm joking. I won't do that to you, okay? 5 points this morning. Let's read together. If you have your Bibles, open them up with me and let's read together. And it says again in Mark chapter 2, and it says, and again, he entered Capernaum. And after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them. Not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to this paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to this paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Now again, if we're Baptist Gospel, I said he took his bed and he arose, and that's when y'all go, hallelujah! Okay? Now I'm just kidding. Don't get out too far out of comfort zones, okay? But look this morning here, we see five things that just jump out. Five things that they would teach us about this friendship, about this unbelievable connection between them together, okay? So let's look at the first thing together this morning. The first thing that we learned from these four unknown friends is this, is that they had this unbelievable awareness about their friend. They knew their friend. Now, I saw something this morning. I was glad to see this morning. I saw someone, I'm not going to do names, I saw someone walk back in the back here in the fellowship hall, and somebody greeted them, and then they expressed some words back and forth, and then there were some tears shed, and then there was this big embrace took place. That's a beautiful thing to see in church, amen? Listen, we're not a country club for saints here, are we? We're a hospital for sinners. And so it's good to see that beauty take place there. These guys were very aware of their friend's physical and spiritual needs. Now you say, preacher, of course they were aware of his physical needs, right? He's laying on a bed and he's been there his whole life, right? Okay? Of course we see that. But they were also very aware of his spiritual needs. And that's important to see here this morning. They were very certain that they had to do something very important here. They had to meet their friends' needs. Do we enjoy meeting our friends' needs, church? All right, now come on now. I'm going to preach 2:30 if y'all don't get in here with me now, okay? Listen, they did. They understood the needs around us. And listen, church, we better start grasping and understanding, not by the technology of today, but genuinely understanding that we have to be aware of the needs of the people around us. Tahoma has needs, church. We better be aware of the needs that are taking place around us, whether it's the school, whether it's the council, the civics, whatever it may be. Church, listen, we have a duty and a privilege to say, I am aware of the very needs that need to be take place here. Because most of the time what's going to happen will not happen what happened this morning back here. You know what happens in church most of the time? Just look at me. Don't say amen. When you come into church and somebody says, hey, how are you doing this week? Did you have a good week? It doesn't matter if you couldn't pay the bill, if you were sick. It didn't matter if you had a big marital blow-up fight. Me and Kathy never have those. Amen? Just yeah. All right. Hey, no matter what happened during the week, you know what you look at the person and say? Oh, it was a great week. God is good. Doesn't matter about any of that. No, think about it for a second. We do that. Why do we do that, church? These friends were aware. They understood. You know why they were aware? Because they had this intimate relationship with one another. They understood that when they saw one another, even if he was bedridden, they understood the needs that had to take place. Such a beautiful picture in the church, and that's what should be taking place. Amen? There's an awareness there that is going on. The second thing that we see, and this is very important as well, the four friends were authentic. That's a word we don't use very much anymore, is it? Authentic. You even know what authentic means anymore? Authentic, if you look it up, it says to be genuine or to be real. These four friends, these four unknown guys, they were authentic in this sense. They had one desire, church. You know what that desire was? Anybody can answer me? Help a friend do what, though? Help the friend encounter Christ. Now, we can all think of friends that we have and family members that we have. Amen? All right? We all think about it. But here's the thing. When we think of those people in our lives right now, is it genuinely our heart's desire? The ultimate thing that can take place, the first thing we think of, I've got to have them encounter Christ. I've got to put them in front of Jesus. Is that really the desire? Or is it, in my case, maybe, when I call friends and talk to friends or talk to family, what's the topic? Politics. You ever go there? I'm not going there this morning, trust me. But politics, college football, who likes college football? Let's get it out of there right now. Oh, come on, put your hands up. That's like, you know, God football right now. I'm just kidding. All right. Talk football. We do those things. But how many times do we really sincerely, man, I just want them to know Jesus. Gosh, I want them to have that relationship. I desire for them to have it. These guys, that was their desire. We're going to see it here in a minute. That was their desire. Is that really our desire, church? Are we authentic enough to say, my desire is for so-and-so to know Jesus? Well, you say, preacher, listen, I've told them hundreds of times. You been there? You shake your head. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. We'll get there eventually, okay? Just shake. Listen, it's true. We have, but here's the thing, church, listen to me. Maybe you've done it 100 times, but guess what? Maybe you can do it 1,000 times. Isn't that crazy? Aren't you glad God gave us infinite numbers? He says, keep doing it. Be authentic in it. Be authentic in the fact that they desired that more than anything at all. The third thing that we see here, and this is very important as well. These four guys were accountable to one another. They were extremely accountable to another. What would happen in this story if we read Scripture and it got down to about verse 7 or 8 and it goes something like this? Well, two of the guys got tired. They stopped talking to these two guys and they just quit. What would have happened? Never would have got there. Thank you. Never would have made it. We have to have an accountability about ourselves. We have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to challenge myself, my friends, my family. I'm going to do whatever it takes so that we're in this boat together. We're here together. Serving in the church is not about being the chief. Amen? It better not be. Well, you're the preacher, you're the chief. No, don't put that title on me. I may be a shepherd, but I can promise you one thing. You're going to serve alongside me, not behind me. They were absolutely, uncertainly accountable to their actions. They were accountable and had this ultimate just saying, you know what? I'm not going to quit on what God desires for me in this. I'm not going to give up on what God desires for me to do here. And we're about to get to the meat of it here in a second. And it's a good thing they didn't, because we're going to see in these last two, we're going to spend quite a bit of time here. We see what happens in this story. They were accountable and true to one another. And here's what happens, and here's where we're going to spend a little bit of time together, okay? The friends were, now this may scare some of us, okay? You ready? The friends were active. How many of y'all been active lately? Judge, you been active? No? All right. Think about that for a second. Do you realize that's what church is about? You say, oh man, who is this nut job that we got up here on the stage right now? It is about being active for God. Now think about what this story tells about here, okay? These four guys each took a corner. This is a bed map, guys, okay? This is a bed, okay? Get in your mind here, okay? It's a full-length bed. It's about this wide. Each guy's got a corner, okay? This guy's still laying on this bed, their friend, okay? They pick it up. What do they do with it? They walk. We didn't really say how far they walk, but they walk a good distance, okay? They get to where the house is, okay? This house is probably most likely Peter's house. And there's this big crowd around it. The population of that town is about 1,500. And most of the people are right there around that house at this time. And here they come. And they come to that crowd. Now, most of us, let's be honest, we're carrying our friend, okay? We're active in it. But we get there and we see the crowd. What are we going to do? Right? We're going to drop him off, aren't we? We're going to shuffle our way through there. No, they don't do that. They still have that man. What are they doing? Can you just get the scene? Let's put our minds in biblical times here for just a second. What are they doing? They're throwing some elbows, aren't they? You ever do that? You ever throw some elbows? They're throwing some elbows and they're moving through that crowd and they're doing everything they can do. And it's getting thick and it's getting crowded and they're getting in the middle of the crowd now. Now here's the guy on the bed still. You know, imagine him. Imagine put yourself in his sandals for a few minutes. He's looking around going, man, what is going on? You know, what are they doing? Where are they taking me? And they're walking through this crowd and they're getting closer and closer to where the door is and they start realizing, oh, there's no way we're getting in the house. Now imagine if First Baptist Kahama was like that this morning. People were showing up and they couldn't even get in the doors. And these four friends said, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up on them. So what did they do? Now this would not have been my first thought, okay? Maybe I'm different. I don't know. I'd have been looking for a window, not a staircase. But they look for a staircase, okay? And they go up the crowded staircase. It's not like they just had a free ride up the stairs either, guys. They weren't quitting. And they carry their friend all the way up the staircase. And they're on the roof of the house now. Now, I'm sorry. I don't know. Maybe I just don't think that way. But now I'm on the roof of the house. Now, imagine the friend on the bed again. Now, what's going through his mind? What are y'all doing to me? Are y'all about to throw me off? Have y'all given up? You quitting on me? You're going to throw me over the roof now? What are you doing to me? Again, active. And we see it again. Guess what happens? Four friends put him down. And what do they start doing? Just imagine it. They start digging. Now, this is a flat roof church. It probably has tile. So they're digging through the tile. And then there's a layer of thatch. They're going through that thatch next. Okay, they're digging away. And this is not like a little bitty hole like this, guys, okay? This is a bed-sized hole. Okay? So you got it in your mind now? Everybody look up. Okay? Just imagine right now somebody coming through the ceiling right now. You know what we would do? I can see some of you already. You'd be like, wouldn't you? Don't you come in here now. But you do it. They're coming through the roof. Now, all this is going on, church. Listen, all of it's going on. Jesus is still teaching. Isn't that crazy? I don't know. I don't know. Somebody coming through the roof. I might have a distraction going on, ADHD, something going on. I don't know. They're coming down through the roof. Jesus is still teaching. You know, a baby cries in our service, and we're all going this, aren't we? What's going on? A phone rings. That's my favorite. When the phone rings. Don't y'all love when a phone rings? You always have that one person that's like, I told that person not to do that again 3 times, you know, and then it keeps going off, and then they panic, and it goes off 4 more times. You might as well just laugh at it, amen? I mean, you know. We panic, though. And here in the story, though, we have people coming through the ceiling down to Jesus. Man, what a beautiful story of four friends. What an unbelievable picture of four friends that say, I do not care what it takes for my friend or my brother or my sister to encounter the one and only gracious Almighty God. What a beautiful image that is. The thing about it this morning, church, is we all have folks in our lives that we can say that about. For me, personally speaking, a bit of my personal testimony is the guy that dropped me through the roof, or the guy that showed me to Christ, is my big brother Stephen. He's the one that led by example. He's the one that told me about Jesus. He's the one that went out of his way and paid for camp. He's the one that did those things so that his brother could encounter an almighty God when he was an older teenager in high school. And I praise God for that. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever thought I'd be a preacher, okay? You ever sit back when you were younger and think, now I'm going to be a preacher someday? Is that just your dreams? No. It wasn't my dreams, no. God had quite a lot of tugging to get me there, okay? But these four friends, to see that they were so active, so willing to do whatever the risk it took to put him before Christ. But here's the thing, church. Let's be honest with one another this morning. I don't know how many times in nearly 20 years of ministry, 10 years of pastorate, many years in student ministry, I don't know how many times I've heard, well, I just don't know if I can go that far out of my way to pick that person up to get them to church. I don't know if I can do that in a church. That's not really my, and we'll talk about this tonight. That's not really my gift. You ever hear those lines? Man, we come up with a lot of excuses not to do things. And yet we see in Scripture these four guys, man, they would move the world to put their friend in front of Jesus. And they did. So now they got the hole in the roof and they've lowered him down. And they're placing their friend. Imagine being in the crowd. Did you ever think about that? That's another thing. Imagine sitting there and all of a sudden you have debris hitting you on the head and you're looking up going like, what are you doing, you know? And they lay him down there. And here's the neat thing. And I want to leave you this message as an encouragement to you. As something positive, okay? And I joked with you 2:30, okay? I'm a 20 to 30 minute guy. Amen. All right. I knew that would work. I was back row. I was probably going, yes! All right. But they lowered him down. And they're putting him down there. And here's what Jesus does. You see it in verse 5. And boy, wouldn't you love to hear this from Jesus? I'm an emotional guy too, so bear with me, okay? Would you not love to hear Jesus go and say to you, I see your faith. I see your faith. In other words, Jesus, what he's really saying here, let's bring it to our terms. He's saying, attaboy. You like hearing that from your dad? You ever strive to hear that maybe from a coach? Coach, I had coaches. I strive, man, just to hear that, you know, Coach Barham go, good job, Mark. Attaboy, good, you know, way to get run over again. Good job, you know. It's great. I did get run over a lot. That's all to say. But that's what Jesus does, and that's the fifth thing that we see here. And it's such a beautiful thing. These four guys, because they were genuine and real friends to this guy, listen, they were awarded. You know how they were awarded, church? We're going to talk about gifts tonight, okay? Is that exciting? Come back and we may have some gifts, okay? I'm just kidding. Jay will have you some gifts, okay? Work on that, bud. Okay. We see in Scripture these guys are awarded for what they did. It says in Scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? All we see from these four guys is giving and giving and giving and giving. And so we see here in Scripture what happens here is they lowered him down there. And Jesus, our Savior, the one that gave everything to you and I, an undeserving people. I do not deserve God's love, church. I don't deserve His grace. I don't deserve His mercy. And yet He gives it to me. That guy looks up and says, praise you. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your service. Attaboy, good job. And then he goes a step further. Your friend is healed. Your friend is healed. Now think about this. These are adult guys here. They've been around this guy for years. You don't think they wanted to see him healed? I guarantee you they did. But they understood there was more to the story there, church. So much more. And is it their friends laying down there? Yes, he was physically healed. And man, imagine that picture. Imagine that picture. All right. He's up walking now, okay? He's up moving around. Can you imagine what he's doing? He's never walked. He's trying those legs out, you know. Looks like he's doing a little shaker or something going on there, you know. Everybody's watching now. He's physically healed. But the most awesome thing happens when Jesus says, your sins are what? Forgiven. Gosh. This guy has been laying on his bed, Matt, has four buddies that give everything for him. And because of their faithfulness and because of their real friendship, man, they put him in a position to be encountered with the Christ. Christ says, you're healed. Physically and spiritually. But now here's another thing, how they're rewarded as well. Notice what it says in Scripture, what happens at the end of this passage here. It says, everybody was what? Amazed. Everybody was amazed. Listen, they came and crowded in here to hear him teach and speak. Amen? Right? But then it says, they saw a miracle of Christ. They were amazed at what took place. These four guys, we don't know their names, church. See, that's the great thing about really ministry. No one should really know our names, amen? The only name that needs to be known is God's. He's the one that deserves praise. He's the one that deserves glory. So this morning, again, look, I did good. I have a cheat sheet up here, guys. See, I use my phone for something good. I'm at 25:15. Wow. Well, Brian, just trust me. Put your watch down, okay? All right. Good grief. All right. I'll try to wrap this up now, okay? But guys, we need to look and examine ourselves in this. Do our lives match these four unknown guys? Or do we live in a society that cultures us today to do something polar opposite of what these guys did? We are taught today in the messages that you get through social media, that you get on TV, that you get even in schools. It's all about who? It's all about me. Sorry, I'm sorry. I'll be honest. At Brush Creek, I do not wear one of these because I get really loud and they don't like this blaring their ears. Okay, so it's all about me. It's all about what I want. Number one. And yet these four friends here, these guys, we don't know their names. They were aware of the needs. They were authentic in their faith. They were accountable in their relationship, active in getting and encountering Christ. And because of that, they were awarded greatly for their service. My challenge to you this morning is to be that kind of friend. Amen? You think First Baptist Kahoma would change if our friendships look like that? You think Kahoma would change if our friendships look like that? Absolutely. But the neat thing about our God is this. He leads it up to us individually. Isn't that cool? You ever just stop and think how good God is to you? Okay, let me ask that again. Okay, all right. Do you ever stop and just think, am I going to start buzzing? Right. Okay. How good God is to you. Man, He's good to us. So very good to you and I. Why do I say that? Because look, He looks at each one of us and He says, I give you free will. I give you the choice. I give you prevenient grace to even accept me. It's your choice. You can deny me and you can go to hell and you can do whatever you want. But I'm a loving God and a just God and a sovereign God and a merciful God. So I'm giving you the choice. And once you make that choice and you begin that discipleship and you begin that walk and that faith and that relationship, and listen, church, it is a relationship. It is not a religion. It never has been. And when you start that, here's what God does to you still. Listen, He looks at you still and He goes, yes, you're my daughter and you're my son. But guess what? You still have the choice. You can be that kind of friend or you can just keep on doing what you're doing. But here's the difference, folks. Look at me. The folks that step up, the folks that say, I want to be like these four unknown guys, they begin to produce fruit in their life. And it's beautiful. And it's healthy. And it's contagious to everybody around us. I would say that's much, much more productive. Amen? So this morning, I believe we are going to have a time of invitation. This morning, I just challenge you. Maybe you look in your own heart this morning and you say, you know what? That's not who I am. I'm not imitating. I'm not living that kind of life right now. That's not at all who I am. When people talk about my friendship with me, it doesn't mirror that at all. I'd be happy to pray with you. I don't know COVID restrictions in Texas. If you want me to pray with you, I'd be happy to pray with you. I'm an altar guy. That's the reason we have these stairs here. Amen. If you need to get right with God, get on your knees. Plant your face in this carpet up here. This morning, that's my challenge to you as we enter into this time of commitment. Am I really that kind of friend? Is that what my relationships look like? When so-and-so thinks about me, do they think, man, that's the person that's trying to get me in front of Jesus? And it means something to me. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your word. God, I just thank you for the excitement of your word. God, I thank you for the fact that you give it to us. God, this morning I pray that if our hearts are not in line with these four unknown guys, God, that before we leave this room that it would be. God, I pray that our desire is ultimately and always to allow our friends and family to encounter the Almighty God. God, we give you the praise for it, for it's in your name we pray, and we pray believing with everything we are.